Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we're recording.
Right.
Finally, finally. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, the same.
So you really don't drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee. I do, but it's like 20% coffee and 80% milk. Or Oatly, whatever, that's not interesting.
Oatly, yes. Seems like Sweden is a tough place to get by if you don't drink coffee. Swedes are always having their fikas.
I know, but I'm a tea drinker, so I always can get a tea or hot chocolate.
I like your style. All right, so for people who have no idea who you are, we're going to get into that. But I think in the back of my head here for this one, I was like thinking Swedes first, like all those Swedes out there who know who you are and are dying to listen to you speak in English. So we're going to like keep it broad for those who have no idea who you are, but also keep those who know you in mind. So for those who have no idea who you are, why don't you give us a bit about your background?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a hard one, but I am a photographer. I usually start with doing commercial photography and then ending up doing weddings. But I didn't plan to. I live in Sweden with my husband, our 1.5-year-old daughter, and my cat, who is here just beside me right now.
And you're a crazy cat lady.
I am. But somehow it's harder when you also have a kid.
So with your commercial photography background, I mean, that's sort of how I like associate you with photography, as someone who came from that side of things and then ended up in weddings afterwards. So when you were doing the commercial photography thing, like what were you doing? Like, were you in school? Were you being mentored? Like, how did you get your first crack in the commercial world?
Yeah, so I have studied commercial photography for 2 years. And then I did my internship at a fashion photographer. And then I got a full-time job as a retoucher. So I retouch food for 3 years.
Why didn't you like stay doing retouching? Like, it sounds like that could have been a nice little career. There's lots of people who need retouching out there.
Yeah, I planned to, but I don't know, it was in the middle of some social like changes in the world. I got really, I'm going to talk a lot about this in the speak, why I actually quit. So I think I'm going to save this story. Actually, it's going to be like a cliffhanger.
All right. I like the mystery. So social something.
Yeah, but I lied there, but you're gonna hear it in the speak later why I lie.
Okay, sounds good. I like the mystery.
Yeah,
so basically though, you were doing a lot of retouching and you were doing commercial photography, and you kind of had like an internship with a fashion photographer. That was like your first like that's how you got your start with being a creative entrepreneur.
Yeah, I started a long way back, like when I was, my father also kind of was a photographer, so I've always had like photography in my life, but that's what, when it started, if you say so.
I kind of find it interesting when people like, I don't know, how do you say this, when they like make their way into the wedding world, it's sort of like the wedding photography gig kind of finds them, and then they're like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And
Then
you know, of course you love it after a while, and it's a great career, we can all agree on that. However, commercial photography seems like something like if you study it and you're starting to work with clients and you're kind of getting your feet planted in the commercial world, that seems like such a more natural path for the long run in my mind. Do you agree? Like, or if you disagree, like, why wouldn't you have stuck with the commercial world?
I don't want to say that I've left it, because I will go back to it more and more, I think. I just think that planning family and studying worked so well with weddings back then. So that's why I didn't want to go, because I know doing commercial, it's more about being out late, finding relationships in the industry, like partying. That's how you make it in the
commercial.
Yeah, exactly. And I had no time for that, no interest in that at all.
So, like, to make it in the commercial world, you need to be like slapping hands and kissing babies and making lots of friends and be networking like crazy. And you were just like, no, that's not me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm not a party girl. I just want to go home drinking tea, play my games, and cuddle with my cat.
Really? Are you really like, you're really like that? You're like that chill kind of a personality, like super laid back, chill.
I would say so. I need to be alone a lot. I need my rest. I like to be at a party, but I'm always the one you can find. I always want to be with one person and just sitting and talking, and then I can go dancing for just some minutes, and then I go back and just talking and talking and talking. So just the partying thing, no, that's not me.
Interesting. Because I like one of my first impressions of you was at a Swedish event we did in Stockholm December of last year, where you were one of the presenters, and I remember you wanted to have a song to come out to before your presentation. I was like, all right, that's a cool idea. And you kind of like, it was just a very small thing where you came out to this song and were kind of dancing around. I was like, well, that's one confident person.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you like to party.
No, but it means there's a little bit of an extrovert personality in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I did a test where you can test if you're introvert or extrovert. And it was like a sociology paper somehow. And you can get a score from 0 to 100. And if you're 0, you're 100% introvert. Or if you get 100, you're 100% extrovert. And you can guess what I got. I got 50. So, yeah, it says something about me.
So where are you at right now with the wedding world? And I ask that because it seems like you're one of the busier Swedish wedding photographers out there. And it seems like you've kind of, like, I remember we spoke earlier in the summer and I liked it because I kind of like didn't agree with you a little bit, which was a good thing. Because what we were speaking about was how you feel like you have kind of got yourself into a place where it's predictable what will happen with your wedding photography bookings. So like you can like have a lot of structure to your life because you know that the bookings will come and things will be plannable and you can kind of like foresee what your year ahead will look like. And I kind of didn't agree with that in a little way, because I think that for many wedding photographers, it's pretty tough to have that stability and predictability. Mm-hmm. So how did you kind of get yourself into a position where you have that predictability with your wedding photography business?
Okay, so I would say maybe that's a bit of a lie from me. It's not like I always feel like I can decide what I want and when I want it and how I want it. And it's only because I know if it doesn't work out, it's okay for me to work like at the supermarket for a couple of months. But I decide how I want to work. So what I said to you is, okay, now that I have family, I really want to work more in Stockholm. So that's what I'm going to do. And I decide that. So that's what's going to happen. Just do. And if it doesn't work, okay, I have to work at the supermarket for a couple of months, but that's okay.
That's a bold thing to say, I think. And it's like commendable of you to be that honest, because I think for a lot of self-employed people, like, it would be really tough to like swallow your pride a little bit if you had to do something like that. But you seem pretty open with it. Like, if I have to do it, I have to do it.
Yeah. Like, so right now I'm shifting market for my business, and I have no idea if it's going to work, but I want to get there. So, just try. I just raised my prices a lot, and I have no idea if it's going to work, but, I can see it working, so I'm just gonna try. And that's the good thing with weddings. The couples are planning so early, so you know for a long time ahead if it's gonna work or not. It's not like in commercial when you get, okay, so next week we want you to do this commercial photography. It's more like you have, okay, next year we want you to be here to do this wedding. So I know at least a half a year before if it's not going to work out. And then I have time to just shift and do something else for that time and reload and see what I don't know. I'm not nervous about the future at all.
Well, I like it. You're in a confident place.
I am. But I also have a really good safety net, and I don't have a problem working with something else if I have to.
Right on. What you just said there, you mentioned only wanting to book local weddings more or less. And right before we spoke here, I listened to a podcast with Whitney Chamberlain, who's also presenting in Stockholm. He did a podcast with Aaron, and he basically said for people thinking about destination weddings, like what they should be thinking is your destination should be whichever venue is closest to your house. And I really liked hearing him say that, because basically what he's saying is like, if you focus on your local community and build from there, then it's a lot more viable over the long run. So when you said that just now, it kind of like struck a chord. Is that sort of where your thinking is at? Like, you want to just like be local and focus on a local community / market?
So I want to have my, you know, secure income from the local, but for the creative stuff, I really love to travel to see different lights and different, I know, landscapes. So I wouldn't like to do only Stockholm, but Stockholm and then some other places. But I don't like to travel at all. I hate to travel. I just want to go there, take the photos, and go home.
Interesting. I love it. You're like, I like it so much that you're saying this, because everyone, or you know, like the reputation of wedding photographers these days is like these wanderlust travelers who just will work for free and just to get more stamps in their passport.
No, I'm the opposite. You have to pay me a lot more if I'm going to travel. But I just go there for the photos, because I want to take the photos, because it's something I really love doing. But being there, I want to go home.
That's cool. That's really cool to hear. And with your prices, what you just mentioned there, I remember with Jakob and I, when we started Nordica way back in the day in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So this is like 2010. I remember we met with somebody who was really experienced in Vancouver, and she's still going at it now. I think she lives in Hawaii. But this photographer told us, she's like, you need to just double your prices right now. And we're like, okay, we left the meeting and we doubled our prices. And I remember there was no difference. Like, we were just getting booked by people with more money.
Yeah.
That was it. There was zero stress. So like, how dramatic a jump are you doing with your prices, and how's that going for you?
Not that dramatic, but I think I'm shifting, you know, it's another kind of client. And I think that clients is harder to reach, and there's not so many of them. So that's what I'm like, okay, this might not work with the strategy that I have had before with Instagram and so on. But I don't know, I raised maybe 30% or something. So it's kind of a lot of money when you're up there already, but it's not like huge amount of money.
I see. All right. So like when you think like you're pretty involved, it seems to me, like with the Swedish wedding photography community, you know what's going on. You're in the mix. So like what do you think is like some of the trends that you're not such a fan of right now within the wedding photography world of Sweden?
That's interesting because I'm going to talk about some trends at the speak at Way Up North. But I don't look at trends kind of at all in Sweden. I think you should look out there, like in the world, if you're gonna see the trends. I don't think in Sweden it's not so much trends. I'm just gonna think.
All right. Well, what about from like a business standpoint? What are you seeing other wedding photographers in Sweden do that maybe you love or maybe you don't love, like in a general sense?
I know where you want to come, but actually I don't, the Swedish photographers, I connect with them on a colleague basis. Like for me, it's more friends. And I don't look so much at their business or trends or strategy. I look elsewhere for that, if you know. I don't get my inspiration.
So where do you look?
Where do I look? I look Australia a lot and Europe and America, I will say. I think so.
Okay.
If you want, like, countries.
No, that's fine. All right. So what do you do? How far ahead do you plan with your business thinking? Like, are you a strategic planner? Do you have five-year goals? Like, how do you kind of, like, go about your business if you don't want to talk about other people's businesses?
I've always have, like, strategic plans for my business. I change it all the time. I always have maybe 5 years ahead what I want to do and 1 year ahead. No, not 1 year, maybe 2 years ahead. Give me a good question. I don't know what to answer on that.
It's all right. I'm just trying to like poke you a little bit and see where it goes, but it seems like you're reserved and I like that.
No, it's not reserved. It's just... because I really like to share. It's just I can't come up with what to share. You know what I mean? So.
All right, let's talk about your cat.
My cat.
Tell us about your cat.
Oh, so I have a cat. His name is Franz. And he is a Norwegian forest cat. So a really, really big cat. He's more like a dog in that way of he's really social. But I always have my conscience for him. What do you say? When you have kids, you don't have time for the cats anymore. Always feel bad about that. And he always wants to.
I understand.
I want that. Whatever.
So with becoming a mom, mm-hmm. How was that in terms of running a business?
Oh, wow. It was... something completely new. I was so naive. I was just thinking I'm gonna do exactly what I did and just gonna have a kid. No, nothing more about that. Well, it wasn't just like that. It had been really a hard 1.5 year now. Yes, it's been difficult, I would say.
Share more. How has it been difficult?
So I was thinking that every baby takes a bottle. So in my head, I would I don't know, kind of breastfeed maybe 4 to 6 months. And then the father is going to go home and she's going to take the bottle and they're going to be home when I'm out doing weddings. But no, it was a stubborn girl that came out. So I think we stopped breastfeeding when she was 1 year and 4 months. So they went with me on every wedding. In Italy, Norway, and Sweden.
Both your husband and the baby.
So I was kind of taking photos, rushing in, brush feeding, breastfeeding her, and just go out again and do my job. But it was, yeah. And if I don't like to travel, my husband doesn't like it more, if you say so.
He hates it more?
Yes. So yeah, it wasn't his favorite summer.
So you kind of had in your mind that it would be business as usual and you would just have this little human carrying around a little bit, but it turned out to be a lot more
intense
than you anticipated.
Yeah, really intense.
Well, I guess every little human is different, but sounds like you made it through the tough times. I guess the first year is the toughest.
Yes.
With the adjustments and whatnot.
Yeah. So I'm just glad that I'm here, made it to the other side.
You're here, indeed. All right, so what's next for you in the world? What do you have up your sleeve? What plans do you have? What goals, what ideas are you kind of brewing up?
I'm craving more fashion photography right now, actually.
Ooh, tell us more.
So, I don't know. It's just, I really, the thing with weddings and why I love it so much is because I have both the documentary and kind of the fashion with the portraits. And that's my favorite part is the portraits. So I want to do more portraits. And when I do styled fashion photography, it's something else. And I like the contrast. And I would like to do more of that, I think.
Minus the networking.
Yeah. I think actually when I talked around, it have shift. So it's not so much partying. The younger generation is not so much for booze here in Stockholm. So that's good.
So within Sweden, is there anyone you kind of look to within the fashion world as kind of a good role model for those who don't want to booze and network and schmooze? Like, who do you network with kind of like, or look at as a peer within the fashion world?
Right now, I'm just hanging out with my, the one I studied with. The commercial friends, but I really like yesterday I found a new photographer in Stockholm that I really liked. Her name is Pauline Susser. So look her up. She's really good and young. Just rocket skied her career in fashion.
Exciting. We'll go look her up after this. So do you like work in a like kind of like a co-sharing space? Do you have an office? Do you work from your couch? Like, what's your like work life?
Oh,
like?
I have an office. I sit maybe 15 minutes from my home together with two other female entrepreneurs. They are illustrator, like what do you call it? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And I'm the photographer. And that's just life saver for me to have them with me on the daily basis to talk with and, I don't know, discuss problems in the business and so on. But I sit there in the weekends.
Okay, so you're in the weekends when you're not doing weddings, you can be found at your office. And then you go home and drink tea with your cat and your baby.
Exactly.
Amazing. Is Stockholm like home for, like, I mean, well, it's home for you, obviously, but is that where you have always lived?
I'm from a town 1.5 or 2 hours from Stockholm south. It's called Norrköping.
How did you end up in Stockholm? Was it because of studying commercial photography?
So I studied commercial photography in a small town in Sweden, and they put it there because you're gonna, because then you do all the work in the studio. You don't have, it's like, I think the town has 1,000 people in it, so it's just you and your friends being there, so no one has something else to do besides taking photos all the day. But then when we're gonna do the internship, all the photographers lived in Stockholm, so that's why I had to move to Stockholm.
And when you moved, you just didn't want to leave, so there's no plans to kind of relocate again?
No, I found my soulmate here. and he's from Stockholm. So, yes, we're going to be here forever and ever and ever.
Hating travel together forever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just like that.
I kind of love it that you're that way, like... Sounds like you're like really like your own person, and that's that. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I am my own person, but I also have kind of hard times getting to know who I am. I'm going to talk about that as well, but it's a problem I started to think about maybe half a year ago, that I've always been the one that following others, kind of, and not being, I don't know if I've been true to myself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I do. It's,
yeah, it's.
Do you think that maybe self-reflection came when you had a little wee one that you brought into the world?
A lot of questions started when she came, for sure. That,
for example,
what's important, how much time you want to spend on your job versus how much time you want to have with your family, like what's left when you're, when you don't work anymore. Kind of, yeah, really, I was starting to think lot about the work versus family.
So that was kind of like influence a few changes that you've made, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of changes this year. A lot.
Okay. Well, for someone who's not coming to watch you speak at Way Up North next week, what are a few of those changes? And maybe you can like drop some ideas in some people's heads for how you can make this adjustment.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of changes because it wasn't sustainable that I'm going to work so much that I actually did. Having both a husband that wants time with me and a cat and my daughter and the business. So I knew I have to do some changes to make this work. So what I did is I have kind of outsourced everything I can.
Outsourced? Like we're talking editing, emailing, admin, like what?
Everything. So, yeah. So
that's awesome.
I know I have to do this because it's not sustainable to do it the other way. We tried, it didn't work. And I have no idea if it is going to be possible economic, but I just, as I said earlier, if it doesn't work, I just work with something else. So
one little question I'll slide in there. Like, I love that you did that because, I mean, Nobody knows their own business better than themselves, and you made that choice to outsource everything, which is great. I'm just curious, why did you choose to outsource everything as opposed to maybe trying to like hire someone and do it kind of internally?
Because I was thinking it's better to have someone who's really good at editing doing the editing, and someone who's can I know for sure can do my email, I would love to have one assistant full time with me, but I haven't found that person yet. So if I do, that's an option, of course. But right now I have, I think I counted it to 8 people working for me in the last month.
Can you repeat that just a little louder?
Okay, so I think last month I had maybe 8 people working for me to get everything under control.
Wow. That's a lot of bodies.
It is. Yeah.
Great. So it sounds like you did that. And now what was the result? What are you going to do moving forward?
I'm going to rest. No, actually, it's this speaking thing has been on my mind a lot the last weeks. This is something I'm not comfortable doing, but I love to talk with people, to people,
but not 250.
Exactly. And being on a stage, I don't know, that's gonna be a huge goal for me. So for me, it's just next week, and then I don't know, I'm just going to
retire.
Kind of. Yeah.
All right. So if you're to think big picture with what you want to happen with your photography business, let's put it ahead 5 years from now, let's say, for example. It sounds to me like you are very self-aware of yourself and your family dynamics. And, you know, it's pretty normal, I would say, that you want to be with your family more, yet you still are self-employed and love what you do. So like, what do you see happening with your photography career down the road?
I hope that I can have maybe 10 weddings a year and then commercial stuff the other time of year. And that my wedding is going to be really high-end weddings.
Nice. Good for you. I mean, that's like so refreshing to hear, because I feel like people in our little bubble are, you know, so caught up with destination weddings. It's like, when are we going to be over that? And I love, it's so refreshing to hear you say
that. I would love
this.
To have like a team on weddings. Like I've been on so many weddings alone, but now when I don't know, climb a bit higher with the couple's, I don't know, budget. There's like a planner and a videographer, and that's so much nicer than being alone, actually. So work-wise, I would love to have more high-end weddings with a team working.
That is amazing. Mm. I love that goal. What do you like? How would you describe yourself when you're at a wedding? Like, I mean, I don't know. Take us through your personality on a wedding day.
Full on service person on a wedding. I do everything. Just, it's not only photography. It's, picking up flowers, getting water for the bride. I run through weddings.
That's interesting. Why do you feel like, okay, don't mind me if I'm asking, you know, these questions, but I guess somebody has to. But like, why do you feel like that is like something you
need
to do?
I don't need to do it at all, but I don't have so much fluff around my packaging. Like it's literally just you buy my time at the weddings and then you get your photos online. But I don't have, and I have like a Skype meeting before. So my time to shine is on the wedding. And then I don't know. I can read people really well, I would say. Someone asked me kind of, I think yesterday, if I had any bright sealers. And I don't know, maybe I had, but they haven't been bright sealers to me because they didn't have a chance.
Nice.
You understand what I'm just doing whatever needs to be done on the wedding to make that wedding as good as it could be.
I guess, well, just to play devil's advocate hell of it, why not? Wouldn't one say that your job is you're hired to take photos, so not be the wedding planner necessarily, or the keeper of the peace, if you want to say it like that. So what kind of like makes it something that you chose to do to be kind of like the peacekeeper, helper, all-around nice person when you're doing wedding photography?
So if I do this to the couples, I know that they rely so much more on me and they come to ask for me and they let loose on the photos than when we're going to take them because they know I do everything for them on that day. So I know I get better photos and I know that the guests, if I'm mingling with the guests, talking to them, they're not afraid of me. And I know when I'm at the dance floor that night, they're going to be just around me all the time. So that's like a strategy to get people close to you to get good photos.
I like it. All right. So now I'm going to throw you a total curveball because why not? Have you ever thought about being a wedding planner?
No, I would suck at that.
Because what I think of with wedding planners is like a big role that they have is doing exactly what you just described.
They do, but they have so much other things to do on the wedding day. On the wedding day, they are the one talking to the kitchen or, I don't know, all the other things that has to be done that day or fixing all the mistakes that happens or if something went wrong. That's their job. I'm the one being around the couple all the day, not the planner, usually.
Gotcha. All right, well, look, taking a lot of your time and I don't want to take too much more of your time, so we can wind it down there. So what's going on with you in the weeks leading up to Way Up North? You got any more weddings on the go? Or I guess we're getting pretty close to it, aren't we?
I have one wedding on Saturday before Way Up North. That's my last wedding. Yes.
Of the year? How many weddings did you do this year?
19, 20, something around that.
And that's like, that's a happy place now, but you want to get that down to 10-ish, but super high end.
Exactly. But that's maybe,
I
don't know, 4-5 years. I don't rush it.
Well, we look forward to seeing you get there. Sounds like you kind of know what's going on and what you want with your wedding photography career. And I think it's probably going to happen for you. All right, cool. Well, we'll end it there. And we'll see you soon.
We do.
Big show.
Have a good day.
All right,
Bye.
Have a good day.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.